This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Local businesses, like so many across the country and really the world, are facing perhaps the toughest challenge of their lives. The pandemic closed operations, or at least limited their opportunities, and many workers remain unemployed, even as the economy slowly reopens. Local chambers of commerce responded to their communities. And joining us now to discuss are Greater Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky African American Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Eric Kearney. Eric, thank you for being back with us.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Good to hear from you.
Likewise. We also have with us on the line Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber Senior Vice President and Chief Operating Officer Brendan Cole. Brendan, welcome back to you.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for being with us. And also Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Brent Cooper. Brent, welcome back.
Thanks, Michael. Glad to be back.
So I want to start with the general overview of the economic situation before we get into some of the programs that were implemented by the chambers as a response. I want to get an idea of the lay of the land now as your members report back to you. Eric, we'll start with you at the African American Chamber of Commerce. What are you hearing from business owners right now about the state of things?
Well, we have done a survey of our members, and we do regularly call them to see how things are going. Some businesses are really experiencing a very difficult time due to primarily the COVID-19 pandemic. National surveys suggest that 40% of Black-owned businesses will default or go under or have to close their doors. I don't think that it will be that much here in Cincinnati, but I could reasonably say about 20 to 30% will have to do that. And it's also specific to industry. So the construction industry has actually been doing pretty well. Our members who are in that industry are doing well, but our members who are in the restaurant, hospitality, consulting industries have seen a tough period during this COVID-19 pandemic.
And Brendan, we just heard Eric say that maybe 20 to 30% of businesses that report to him may be forced to shut down. And I mean, that's one in five, and that's pretty significant. What are you hearing from the region at large?
Well, we've, thanks, Michael. We've talked to almost all of our members as well throughout the pandemic, just reaching out to find out what they need. Just before the pandemic, we launched a center for research and data, and I had our team there pull some of the data on this. And the numbers are scary. I mean, businesses are facing significant challenges in the months ahead. It's interesting, more than 45% now say that normal is more than 6 months off. And I think at the beginning of the pandemic, people thought that this would be something that passed rather quickly. And now folks are taking a little bit more of a long-term view, saying that this is going to last for a long time. More than 80% of businesses are reporting a large or a moderately negative impact. 35% are reporting that they've had disruptions to their supply chain. So this continues to be a challenge for folks. And I think you will see some businesses have to retool and you know, potentially close. Obviously, we're working with all of our members and beyond to try and prevent that in any way that we can and help them get connected to all of the resources that are available, because we've got to be able to keep the economy going so that people can stay employed.
Brent Cooper is from the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce. Brent, what about the members on the Kentucky side?
Our members are telling us the same kind of thing. When the pandemic started, we also called every single member that we had and have been helping them navigate these waters, everything from reopening now to the payroll protection program and the SBA loans. What we're hearing on construction, just like Eric said, we're hearing, you know, they've done fairly well during this. They continue to operate. Logistics and distribution obviously are huge for Northern Kentucky, and those continue to operate, and those are actually up in many areas. Manufacturing overall has been okay. While they've taken a hit on things like aerospace, there's other areas that have picked up, and so we've talked to some of our larger manufacturers, and they're okay. I don't think anybody's saying they're great, but they're okay. But where Northern Kentucky got hit really hard is in tourism. And, you know, Northern Kentucky makes up 20% of the state's tourism. And so any hospitality or restaurants, all of those have been hit really, really hard, as have some of the retail organizations. And so, again, on our side, and I kept telling Janet Hare from NKU she wasn't allowed to come back and report until she had good news. It may be a while. She's been reporting the same that we're hearing across the board, that some of those areas are hit so hard, it's going to be, as Brendan said, months before they come back, and in some cases, maybe even a year. And so everything that we can do to help them, that's what we need to be doing. And we've been advocating across the board, all the chambers of commerce on all those fronts, to find ways to get help for those small businesses.
And if you are a business owner impacted by the current economic situation brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic, we'd like to hear from you. 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and tweets and try to get some of those into the show as well. Brendan, this region was seeing some serious momentum in basically all sectors. You heard Brent reference tourism. We have plenty of tourist attractions. The airport had seen such a significant turnaround, and the airline industry has been impacted adversely. Logistics, manufacturing, small businesses, and our urban renaissance. What do you think the story is now in terms of prospects for the future? How long does it take for us to bounce back from this, in other words?
Well, look, I'm optimistic, and I think that you'll find, you know, Brent and Eric and I and I will speak for Jill Meyer, who is the president and CEO of the Cincinnati Chamber. By nature, Chamber of Commerce folks are optimistic, and we look around and we see the fact that the airport, though it has lost passenger traffic, is having record cargo traffic. If you walk through Covington and over the Rhine, two neighborhoods that have had incredible urban renaissance in the last several years, you'll see restaurant owners and bar owners and retailers who are working overtime to figure out ways to serve customers in this new environment. And in many ways, though, you know, there are days, I think, when we are all affected by what's happened in our country over the last several months. When you do run into an entrepreneur who's out there hustling and trying to figure out how to make this work, you have a real optimistic viewpoint of our business climate and of the entrepreneurs and people in our region to be resilient, to come back stronger than they were before, and to come out of this experience really more connected as a community. And I think that, though I think we still have some tough months ahead, that as a community, we're going to come out of this stronger and better in the future.
And again, we're talking with Brendan Cole from the Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber of Commerce, Brent Cooper from the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce, and Eric Kearney from the African American Chamber of Commerce. Eric, you heard Brendan just reference the optimism that seems to naturally occur within entrepreneurs. But my goodness, there's never been anything like this for current operators of business. And I mean, sometimes the day-to-day operation of a business can really weigh on somebody. But when the destiny is taken out of your hands the way it is right now, the way you're waiting for numbers to go down, I'm wondering what you're hearing from members as it relates to that. What is their morale like?
Well, I'll tell you, our members are very determined people. They are optimistic. They will pivot. I just had an email earlier this morning from a member who is a dry cleaner who is now pivoting into cleaning, deep cleaning fabrics and materials, masks and things like that so that they can be reused. We had another member who specialized in novelty items who now is providing PPE for businesses and packages and things like that. So people are coming up with creative solutions to stay in business, and they are fighting the good fight in order to stay afloat. So I think that the economy at large is something that you can't control, and I think people are looking at it as if they are going to do everything that they can with what they can control, and they're hitting it with gusto and being very determined.
And Brent, we saw that take place a little bit on the Northern Kentucky side of the river as well as companies pivoted to address the immediacy of the situation, whether it was a distillery making hand sanitizer to other industries looking at other ways to help. But still, there are some businesses that can't answer the call in that way. What's the morale in Northern Kentucky?
Yeah, it's as Brendan said, I think team presidents are naturally optimistic, but there is a lot of frustration and anguish going on, and it continues. I remember being on the phone with small businesses in March, the end of March, and I was in tears. I'm also a small business owner. I was in tears with them as they languished through this. But there is a lot to be optimistic about going forward. A lot of the help that's come, as Eric just mentioned, and you did, with the distilleries making hand sanitizer, we saw local manufacturers switch gears and start making masks. We saw a local plastic surgeon start donating PPE equipment. And chambers of commerce were able to connect businesses with other businesses. So we were able to connect a local manufacturer with an innovator to come up with some ways to sanitize equipment for our local hospital network here. And so those are the kinds of things that I think has warmed my heart as we go through this. And I do think the community has rallied around a lot of these businesses, and that will continue. And one of the things I'm so excited about are these small business grants that the chambers are doing for small businesses out there. We've got one through Duke, which is targeted towards minority and women-owned and veteran-owned businesses that can help with those businesses get through this crisis. And the main thing is getting cash in hand. Like, these grants can really help these businesses survive. And to Eric's point, as they innovate, they can receive these grants, like we also did with the Restaurant Relief Fund, with the CRBC and the Main Street Ventures and other small businesses donating this fund. Some of these restaurants and bars that have received this money have used it for ways to adapt. We have one that bought an ice cream machine, started serving ice cream, staying open later. These are the innovators, the entrepreneurs, and that kind of thing. If we can get them help now, they can survive this, and we will come back sooner than we would otherwise.
And we're going to talk more about some of those programs that the chambers offered up to supplement the businesses while they figure things out during this pandemic. We still want to hear from you at 513-419-7100 or send us an email at talk@wvxu.org. And Brendan, I heard you reference that earlier on in the pandemic, businesses were maybe more optimistic because they thought it would be over soon after we took these serious measures to lock ourselves down and to stay away from each other. But we can see the numbers every day, and while I suppose there's somewhat promising news as it relates to death rates, we're still seeing a lot of cases, a lot of positive cases of this disease, and we're not sure exactly when that's going to go back down. We're also seeing sort of a piecemeal response across the region, maybe a city here making masks mandatory, for example, maybe a business making it mandatory, but it's not consistent across all platforms. I'm curious about your perspective from the business industry as it relates to the government's response to getting a handle on this situation.
Well, look, I think businesses in this region and across the country are used to stepping into the breach when there is one to take action to, you know, safeguard their employees and their customers. And I think you've seen a lot of that here in Cincinnati. And yes, the city of Cincinnati has done a mask mandate. But I think at the same time, if you look at what the business community has done, P&G stepped forward to partner. We created a few weeks ago through the Restart Task Force something called the Regional COVID Communications Center. Regina Carswell Russo is leading that. And she, over the last week, worked with P&G and their tremendous brand leaders to launch this Masks On campaign that businesses throughout the community, Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati, Westchester, Hamilton, are all adopting. And you're seeing that throughout the community, signs of saying, put your masks on and you can save life. And if you want to get back to a baseball game, put your mask on. And if you want to get back to drinking a beer at Oktoberfest, put your mask on. So I think what you see in the business community is this willingness to step up and make very clear statements on what we need to do as a community to be safe. And the same goes with access to PPEs. You know, our chamber, again, worked with P&G and Brain Brew and Eureka and other chambers in the region to distribute 5,000 kits, and we still have some available. Free kits for businesses that include masks, disinfectant, and sanitizer. All of that's available at CincinnatiChamber.com. That's an example of how the business community in this region can step forward and take action to help other businesses and help lift up the economy, even during this tough time.
Eric Kearney is president and CEO of the African American Chamber of Greater Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky. And Eric, I would like to ask you the same question. Your thoughts from the perspective of a business leader as it relates to the government's response.
Well, Michael, I would say that the local government and the state government have done a solid job. I don't have any disagreement with the way that Governor DeWine has moved forward, or our leaders at the city of Cincinnati and some of the counties, Denise Driehaus, who's the county president of Hamilton County. So I think the government's response has been very good. I've been very proud, along with the same theme that Brendan said, of kind of our business members, how they've kind of filled in the void. If there's been a gap in terms of regulations, they've always sided with over-communicating with customers and clients and suppliers. It seems to me that they have just really stepped forward, and I've been very proud of the job that they've done.
And we're going to talk about some of the programs that the local chambers have implemented to assist local businesses, and we will pick up this conversation with local leaders of local chambers. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with Greater Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky African American Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Eric Kearney. Eric, thank you for staying with us.
Thank you, Michael.
Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber Senior Vice President and Chief Operating Officer Brendan Cole. Brendan, hello.
Hey.
And Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Brent Cooper. Brent, thanks for staying with us as well.
Absolutely, Michael.
Brent, the Northern Kentucky Chamber had some innovative responses to assist local businesses. One in particular was the Restaurant Relief Fund that activated the community to be involved in raising funds for the local restaurants. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that was a collaboration with Tri-County Economic Development Triad and the Horizon Funds of Northern Kentucky. And as I mentioned earlier, we got response from so many businesses and support groups across the region. I think we were able to get up to, I think it was a little over $91,000 in gift cards. So the idea was that you would buy a gift card and that would automatically nominate a business for a $1,000 grant. And I think we gave away 47 of those $1,000 grants. And when you combine that with all the gift cards that were purchased, that got us a little above $91,000 economic impact. And that was something we were really proud of. And it also was an example of why I think our region is so great. I mean, I think, again, while we're all going through these very difficult times, there are bright spots, and that's us all coming together to support businesses, in particular the small businesses that were just impacted so much from this crisis. And, you know, I would also say our collaborative efforts with the Cincy Chamber, with the African American Chamber, with all the chambers around Greater Cincinnati, that has been extremely valuable for everybody, for members of businesses across the region. And as Brendan mentioned earlier, that is something that I think the more that we collaborate, we try not to duplicate, we work together, I think that will continue to make things better and a better business climate for everybody on both sides of the river. So we continue that process as we communicate and try to come up with solutions that will help our business members, especially those small businesses that need it the most.
And Brendan, you're from the Cincinnati side, and I know that there's been what you're calling a COVID response team that's been brought in, a lot of heavy hitters from around the region. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, definitely from around the region. And, you know, our chamber, we work really closely with Brent, obviously, because we're a regional chamber. So we've got members on, throughout the 16-county MSA. CincinnatiChamber.com has a ton of information. We were doing emails to 50,000 people a day, giving them the most up-to-date information on what was happening with COVID-19, what the various different government responses were. The Restart Task Force is a group of CEOs and community leaders from throughout the entire community who have been leading on everything from how the government has responded. We've convened all of the local bank presidents to talk about better ways to make sure that businesses were able to access PPP funds. You know, in our region, nearly three quarters of businesses accessed PPE funds. There were still some who could not get access to it, and that's a challenge that we're working with Eric and other organizations to try and remedy, because there are still businesses out there who need cash. Brent earlier mentioned the Duke Energy Fund at the Northern Kentucky Chamber. There's a Duke Energy Fund at the Cincinnati Regional Chamber as well. All of that information is at cincinnatichamber.com. And I know Eric has done a ton of work on raising funds to help businesses get cash in hand, which is obviously the most important priority. And I hope he can talk about this. But the response has been broad. And I think it's been really creative, too, to see people just jumping in and finding ways to support business. Everything from the masks and hand sanitizer to at restartcincinnati.com, you'll find businesses who have willingly uploaded their reopen plans. So that other businesses can learn from them and find ways to have best practices on getting people back to work safely.
Eric, according to the New York Times last month, the coronavirus is hitting Black business owners the hardest. And in the article, they cite some data collected by some analysts at the University of California in Santa Cruz. They said that more than 40% of Black business owners reported they weren't working in April, and only 17% of white small business owners said the same. So what are the unique challenges faced by the African-American business community?
Well, there are a couple of things. One is undercapitalization. So that's present when you first start your business and continues throughout. Also, there's a gap in terms of relationships. And that's one of the things that we've seen during this pandemic. And by relationships, I mean relationships with bankers, relationships with accountants and attorneys, and strong relationships with people who can help these businesses. So we've changed our programming at the African American Chamber to target creating better relationships between our members and bankers, our members and attorneys and accountants, and also with marketing professionals, because that seems to be where there was a big void in terms of what our members needed. And so all of this effort is designed to make sure that we decrease the likelihood that someone will go out of business and increase the likelihood that people will prosper during this time. Brendan made reference to a program that we're doing, and they're called Push Grants. And those grants are in the amount of $2,500 and $5,000 are given to small business owners. We're doing it in conjunction with our good friends at Mortar and our good friends at GCMI. And so we're putting those out, putting that money out on the street this week and next. Also, people should know that Hamilton County has also put money out, grants as high as $10,000. So there are efforts out there to help small business owners to get their feet under them. And you can learn more at african-americanchamber.com.
Eric, we've also seen, because there's another significant issue developing across the country alongside this unprecedented pandemic, we're also seeing really for the first time this nationwide conversation about America's systemic racism and police violence, deadly police violence. We're seeing it here in Cincinnati, certainly. And through that, there's an awareness being raised about patronizing African-American-owned businesses. I suppose that's difficult if the businesses aren't able to operate, but what is the message that the greater community can take from this moment with all that's going on about the role that African-American business ownership plays in the greater community?
Well, my view is that entrepreneurship in the Black community, owning your own business, is a cure for many of societal's ills. That's why I'm doing this work and not involved with politics. I think owning your own business is the way to, you know, financial independence, self-sufficiency. It helps with employment. What I have seen, though, with this pandemic is a heightened interest in learning about Black-owned businesses, learning about the African-American community, and I certainly welcome it. Our phones are always ringing with people asking for referrals. And so we make referrals, obviously, first to our members and then subsequently to other people in the community. But it has been, I mean, it's been overwhelming in terms of people calling our offices at 513-751-9900 and asking about how they can utilize Black-owned businesses. So I'm very optimistic about that, and I'm very thankful.
And we're talking to Eric Kearney, the African-American Chamber of Commerce, Brendan Cole from the Cincinnati Regional Chamber of Commerce, and Brent Cooper from the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce. Brent, let me ask you a similar question. What role do you see the chamber playing in this moment, this historic moment, beyond the pandemic, but also with the civil unrest and these questions of America's past and how this plays out in terms of the business community moving forward?
Well, I think when I look at what chambers of commerce do, I break it down into three buckets. We lead, we connect, and we advocate. And I think this is an opportunity for chambers of commerce all over the country to continue to step up. When I say use the word continue, I mean, we have been doing that since the pandemic started, but that needs to continue and it needs to amplify. We need to lead on this issue. We need to engage, make sure that diversity, equity, and inclusion is pervasive in everything that we do. We need to make sure that we're putting programming on that is impactful. And we've done that. If you go to nkychamber.com, you'll see events, and we've actually recorded those and made those freely available to people. We're going to continue to do that. And we need to advocate for policies that really make a difference for everyone, for quality of life for all. But we've been targeting those small business owners, again, minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, veteran businesses. We want to make sure that they are taken care of and that there's opportunities for everyone. And so when we look at the advocating on child care, for example, 30% of our members say that child care is a major barrier right now for getting employees back to work. Those are the kinds of things we're talking about, liability concerns, advocacy issues across the board. So we lead, we connect, and we advocate. And I think that's where chambers of commerce should be. And I will say for my chamber brethren that are on this call today, they have all done that in spades. And I'm very proud to be a part of this a group of chamber leaders who have really helped the Cincinnati, Greater Cincinnati region.
Brendan, speaking of the Cincinnati region, you referenced some stats that your chamber is collecting. And I'm curious, how does the Cincinnati MSA, as you like to say, stack up against peer cities, as you also like to say?
You know, this is one we've looked at how we are, how we stack up against some of our peers. And, you know, I don't have anything dramatic to say that we're way ahead here or way behind there. It's seemingly everybody is within a few points of one another. One of the things, though, that I do think, and I want to build on what Eric and Brent both said, that I do think that we are able to build on is the minority-owned businesses in our region, and in particularly the African-American-owned businesses in our region, are a core part of our economy that I think, again, when we talk about optimism about how we're going to come out of this, I actually believe that we are way ahead of many of our peer cities, and we are. If you talk to Mel Gravely, who has been in the business for a long time and was part of the founding of the Minority Business Accelerator at the Cincinnati Chamber, what we have built with that and other programs like Eric and organizations that Eric mentioned, like GCMI and the African-American Chamber, is a way to support and grow, in particular, African-American-owned businesses in our MSA. That is going to lead our economy into the future. It helps us attract talent. It helps us grow the economy. It's clearly where the world is thinking right now and where growth needs to be. And I think that the foundation that we have built in our community puts us up in the peer set of cities like Atlanta, cities like Chicago, which has Columbus, which have large African-American-owned business communities. Cincinnati is right there as well, and we've got to continue to build on it. And that's why, supporting the African-American Chamber, supporting the Minority Business Accelerator, supporting Mortar, the Urban League, and the organizations that are in particularly helping to grow African-American-owned businesses. I just wanted to make sure I hit that, because I really, truly believe that is a advantage that our region has over many other communities in the country. And if we're going to come out of this stronger, we should be doubling down on our commitment to help those businesses grow.
I've only got about 90 seconds left, and I want to make sure I get perspective from all three of you before we hang up. And we're talking about businesses in the pandemic. And a lot of the concern about the shutdown was whether businesses would survive. Please let us go back out so we can patronize businesses. But at the same time, we're just not seeing widespread mask usage across the region. It's only mandated, you know, in a few communities, including the city of Cincinnati, of course, in indoor situations. We also heard Brent reference childcare. And so there's concern about whether kids will be back in classrooms physically in the fall. I know that you're not policymakers, but you are policy influencers. So I want to ask all three of you. Now, I've wasted most of this time. I only have a minute left. Eric, let's start with you. Do you see your chamber taking a position on masks if you haven't already?
6 feet, mask up.
All right. That's simple enough. Brendan, what about you?
Absolutely. Masks on. We're telling everybody everywhere. We're giving them away free at CincinnatiChamber.com. We're telling anybody that will listen, you got to put your masks on and stay distant.
And Brent Cooper.
Absolutely, 100%. Masks on, 6 foot distance. If you need help find a mask, you can also go to the nkychamber.com website. We'll help connect you.
And just to let our listeners know, we will be talking about masks for most of the show tomorrow. We want to hear your perspective on them. And you can go ahead and email us your comments now if you'd like, talk at WVXU.org, or leave us a voicemail at 513-419-7100. Let us know what you're seeing around town and whether you're upset or whether you're happy by what you see. My thanks to the Greater Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky African American Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Eric Kearney, Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber Senior Vice President and Chief Operating Officer Brendan Call, and Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Brent Cooper. Thanks to all three of you for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of our show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. The composer of our theme music is Rob Fetters. And you can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.